Welcome back to the Adonis Lifestyle Podcast, and I'm John Barman. With me again is Vince Del Monte, and this is our third interview in our mini series here. And Vince is walking us through his contest prep over the past, I guess, 6 or 7 years now, and we're on to, I guess, now the present and where Vince is headed in the next few years, and actually in the next couple of months even. So, Vince, why don't you? Okay, so we just discussed your progression from when you first started your first show in 05. You did a couple of shows in 08 and the progression of how you improved. So walk us through what's happened since 08 and where you're headed now.
Okay, so in 2008, I actually swore I was never going to compete again. And it's funny because, you know, these fitness shows don't really offer a lot in terms of anything. I mean, you get a good set of before and after pictures, but again, you get mostly disappointment. So I swore I was never going to get involved with these shows again. I film all my shows, I create products out of them and all that. So I personally benefit out of them, but I mean, I'm like, there's no reason for me to ever do this again. But, a couple of my friends got what's called their pro card, with the organization WBFF. And, it's a show I've been going to watch every year at the end of the summer, September in Toronto. And I was really, really impressed by the show they put on. So I'm like, I want my pro card. it was just kind of one of those things I want to add to my resume. I wanted to say that I was a, you know, the way I train, the way I eat, you know, it's kind of like a professional, but it wasn't official. So I started getting fascinated with having this title professional fitness model because it's really consistent with the way I eat, live, and train. So I'm like, why can't I call myself a professional fitness model? So let's make it official. Let's compete with this organization called the WBFF. And you have to either get first place or top three in certain shows to get your pro card. So that became my mission for 2011. And I decided that back in October 2010, and I knew I wanted to look different, so I dedicated 2 months to adding some mass to my frame. I went from 214 to 227 in November, December, trained harder than I ever had before, hired a coach who helped me bulk up, and that's when everything changed. I hired Ben Pakowski. He's Canada's top bodybuilder. He's ranked one of the top 20 guys in the world, just placed top 10 at the Flex Pro, and Flex Show, top 10 at the Arnold Classic. So he's one of the world's top bodybuilders. And the reason I hired him is because he was one of the only pro bodybuilders I spoke to who could actually intelligently and in depth intelligently explain everything that he does and everything that he would be doing. And I was really fascinated. He's got a kin degree. He's very, very smart. The guy could teach he could teach a college degree in bodybuilding. He's very, very smart. So I was fascinated. I'm like, I'm hiring you. And we started off in November. He did a physique assessment on me. And remember when I said, if you can't handle criticism, our sport isn't for you. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, he said, we got to work on your lower lats, your side and rear delts, your upper chest, your upper biceps. He goes, where are your hamstrings? And
he actually said, where are your hamstrings?
And then he said, we can't do much about your calves. but, you know, I'll make them the best that we can. And and then abs, abs, abs. So, yeah. I mean, whoever was listening to that and knows anything about anatomy probably is trying to figure out what body parts he didn't list off. So,
yeah.
So I hired him. That was a big investment. And and we got it started. The first thing he did was he sent me like a page long of supplements, a lot of supplements I never heard of or even knew about. And that was the first thing. And he set me up on a bulking plan to get me up to 230 pounds. And I don't know if you want to talk about that, but I mean, there was a lot of different things that I hadn't incorporated into my training, a lot of things that made a lot of sense mm-hmm. that I've finally figured out and finessed for myself. And that made a huge difference. I was like just blown away with the gains I was making. And, he had more of an influence on my supplements and my diet and my bulking. I did the training on my own. And, mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to pause there, but, basically.
Yeah, no, let's get into that for a bit.
Okay. Which part?
The bulking. Okay. Like this first step.
Yeah. Well, the main thing was, you know, one thing I remember him doing is he gave me a free meal every single day. And ever, you know, I'm like, when you, I said, was that a, you mean free once a week? He goes, no, had a free meal every single day. So I was like, that was interesting. So I got to eat one free meal a day, whatever I wanted. You know, he got me on supplements, you know, lots of like, you know, Vitargo, Carbolin, lots of different variations of maltodextrin, different kinds of sugars pre, during, and post workout, you know, higher dosages of BCAAs and glutamines and, started mixing up my protein sources, so I never ate the same protein source back to back. So it was all high quality, you know, fish, a lot more beef. I was eating sirloin or beef or venison or bison at least twice a day. Higher quality sources of carbs. I was eating yams and way more sweet potatoes, way more brown rice. You know, I dropped all the wheat products. You know, little tweaks, you know, not eating fat before my workout and, just the combination of all those things, egg whites, more eggs, a lot more. He's really, really big on, you know, alkalizing your body and just, you know, being a healthy organism, you know, a healthy organism is going to perform a lot better. So
is this another one of those situations where you just handed him the wheel and you just kind of did as you were told?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. And so this clearly helped.
But you know what I did? The only difference was that I asked them why.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I just kind of, and anybody who knows Ben Pekowski, he's a pretty intimidating guy. He's, you know, he's, you know, 310 pounds in his off season. He's a very friendly guy, but you know, to ask him why was, you know, I had to sometimes muster up the courage to ask him, you know, why are we doing this? But yeah. He explained everything to me and it all made sense. So. He was really big on alkalizing your body, green supplements first thing in the morning, not eating for 20 minutes, tired my first meal, and green supplements right after my workout as well. And they're all little things that I've done that I've maintained. A lot of new, I guess you could call them rituals that I've maintained since then. And you know, sending him my pictures too is able to assess things as we go and mm-hmm. you know, have a say in making sure we're on track. So that was a really, really exciting experience.
Okay. And so, and this is all in prep for which show?
Yeah. So the first goal was to get to 230 for January 1st. I got to 227.
Okay.
January 1st, I moved to Florida, got into a better training environment. That's where I started my contest prep for my first show, April 16th. So that would have been 14 weeks later. And there was another show in Quebec on April 30th, which I had as a backup. So if I didn't get my pro card at the April 16th show, I was going to go to Quebec 2 weeks later and make a second attempt.
And I'm going to pause you right there. That's pretty common to get into shape and then knock out a couple shows back-to-back because a lot of competitors will do that and they will just maintain their shape for the, you know, for the week or two in between. So that's pretty normal for people who don't understand.
Yeah. So that was the whole mission to get my pro card. And I was starting at 227. And, you know, if I could share some of the strategy we did with my diet and training leading up to that contest prep, if you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Well, a couple of things he introduced me to was, you know, just categories of foods. So understanding your, you know, best, better, selection. So I was always, I wouldn't say better, but I'll use the word optimal. Mm-hmm. So selecting the most optimal sources. So, you know, instead of being lazy and having natural peanut butter or olive oil, you know, it'd be always avocado or mixed nuts, you know, Brazil nuts, almonds, walnuts, cashews. So I was always mixing up my forms, you know, sunflower seeds. I was always rotating my sources of fats, you know. Same thing with proteins. I would never eat the same protein source back to back. So my first show is, you know, you can look at, you know, chicken breast vegetables. Now it would be chicken only once in the day. Salmon once in the day, bison once in the day, sirloin once in the day. I was always rotating my carb sources. So I was always, because, you know, every protein source has different makeups and profiles. So I found that was really good. Really, really, really getting on top of myself to have, you know, at least 1 to 2 cups of vegetables with each meal. And just, you know, I was learning more about absorption and digestion and understanding that what you put in your mouth, the mouth doesn't get actually into your bloodstream, into your muscles and that. So I was really became conscious about, you know, not slacking on my vegetables. And then the same approach with my carbs, not always, I never ate the same carb sources back to back. So, you know, I was rotating Ezekiel cereal, quinoa, I can never say that word right, sweet potatoes, brown rice, and I think there was one or two other sources in there too, but one of the big things was having carbs in 4 out of 5 of my meals. So I didn't cut my carbs at all in the entire prep for this show. I was actually having 180 to 200 grams of carbs through the whole show prep. And I never, you know, there's only one meal in the day I cut them out. That's it.
And that's different from the last couple times.
Oh yeah, I was like carb, you know, I was fearful of carbs, and you know, they were the enemy. And
did that make your training go a lot better?
Oh, big time. I mean, because Ben's a high volume guy, and most of my workouts were anywhere from, you know, 12 to 24 sets of body parts. So I was doing, you know, the train at that intensity. You can't kid yourself. Like, where's that energy going to come from?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's anyone who's going really low carb. It's just too. It wipes you out in the gym. You just can't do it.
Yeah. So
not for very long anyways.
And you know, higher fats too, stuff like that, you know, stabilizing my blood sugars in the morning time. I didn't have carbs in my first meal or my last meal of the day. So little things like that, you know, I don't know if, you know, you can never put your finger on one thing, but I think it was collectively all those things made a big difference.
So you really noticed the variety helped.
Oh, big time, yeah. And it just seems a lot smarter to me. You know, right now, if you look at my meal plan, I mean, I have two different sources of meat a day, two different sources of fish a day, chicken once a day, and then my fat sources are all different. My carb sources are all different. So at the end of the day, I've put a lot of different amino acid profiles
it's almost like you're getting back to eating the way a normal person would eat.
Huh.
Versus restricting it right down to like canned tuna and vegetables all the time.
Yeah. They're high. They're your best sources of each, food category as well. So,
So a lot less out of a can and a lot more whole food.
Yeah, exactly. So my whole thing is, you know, whole foods versus food products. You know, it's always going to be better for you.
So I have a question here, and I don't know. Have you noticed a particular food that doesn't seem to agree with you, or just doesn't work with your look, or you can't really tell because there's so much variety?
I found one food that really fills me out, food that doesn't. You know, I guess you always try and find foods that you like. You know, I was always hoping that I could – oatmeal was this easy. I loved oatmeal. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't get rid of my gut with oatmeal.
Huh, interesting.
So I'm like – and milk, I can't do lactose. Don't ever do lactose. I'll be in the washroom. It's just, you know, I don't – don't, but those are the two foods. Foods that I thought I didn't think I would respond to as well as white rice. I guess my body just metabolizes white rice really nicely, but if I have one or two cups of white rice, like, I fill out right away. It's amazing. And I experimented with that with my final few days. And I mean, you give me white rice, if I'm looking flat, give me a few cups of white rice and I'll fill out like fast.
So your muscles will fill out. So you don't wash out, you fill out.
Oh, white rice is like, And I have people to even tell, people who've been in the car with me on the way to photo shoots while they watch me before, you know, flattening it out and then seeing me eat the rice and then filling out right away. I've had that happen a few times. So I've got, it's been really interesting.
And now that's something that you only notice when you're lean enough to see it. And I know I have people ask me all the time, like, you know, what's the right thing to eat? And does, you know, how does this work for carb loading, or does it, you know, does it change the look of your muscles? And the answer I give them is, if you're not lean enough, you can't see this. Like, you know, but if you're lean enough, you actually can. Like you said, even other people can look at you and go, oh, that's, you know, you look fuller.
Yeah.
So
I mean, a couple of things I also note too. I mean, through my 12-week prep for that first show, you know, the first 4-6 weeks, my coach was, I could have Ezekiel cereal or oatmeal as forms of carbs. But then as we got closer to the shows, we'd replace those with, you know, non-wheat products, and you know, we'd have quinoa, sweet potatoes, and those became more the staples. So again, I kind of look at them as heavy artillery. You don't pull out the heavy artillery until you really, you know, I don't want sweet potatoes, even though sweet potatoes are like probably the best source of carbs for me to stay lean and in full. I don't want to have them for 12 weeks. There's a practical factor that goes into this too. Yeah. Ezekiel cereal is like a treat to me. I mean, I got a box of it. So being able to have that for 6 weeks and not having, and then cutting it and then you know, bring out, you know, the heavy artillery, so to speak, the last 6 weeks. It's kind of like how you mentally handle the length, you know, the daunting task of this prep sort of thing.
All right. So walk us through. Okay. So you did the Florida, did you do both shows or no, did you?
Yeah, April 16th. I placed fifth of 22 guys at the Fitness Atlantic show. They gave only first place to Pro Card, who actually happened to be my training partner.
Oh, well, good for him.
Yeah, exactly. So I have to be happy. And then I got my Pro Card at the show 2 weeks later. I placed third, and they gave it to the top three guys.
Okay, so now what did you do something different from your prep for Florida versus Montreal? Like your before show prep, because I know you and I've chatted a little bit about how you looked like the day before, the day of, and the day after, and people don't realize that in many cases, if you're not in bodybuilding or fitness competitive circles, a lot of times you can see the guy the night before, the day of the show, and then the next day, and you're like, oh, you would have won the show on the night before, the day after, but you just couldn't have won the show the day of. A lot of people miss it like that close.
Yeah, you're very right. It's very, very true. So, so the first show, April 16th, I made a few errors. One thing was I didn't carb up enough. So I was having 8 ounces of protein and I'm sorry, 8 ounces of carbs and 4 ounces of protein every about 3 hours.
And this is when?
This was the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday leading up to the show.
Okay.
And I cut my water on the Thursday night, so I dehydrated for almost like a day and a half, which was
it's a lot,
way too long. I know it was a big mistake, but so I came in way too skinny, way too flat for the show. For the Montreal show, I had 10 ounces of carbs every 2 hours, so I was having almost 9 meals a day for 3 days straight. Mm-hmm. And I did a photo shoot on the Friday night before the show after the carb load was over. Mm-hmm. And I looked better than I did on the day of the show, which was Saturday afternoon. So I obviously wasn't carbed up enough, and I didn't cut my water until Friday 3 p.m. instead of Thursday the day before. And I looked a lot fuller, and I looked a lot
on the Friday.
I looked a lot fuller, a lot harder on the Saturday too. So I had carryover too. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So and so now would you have thought that it would have been that acute, like literally 12 hours, 20 hours later?
Oh, no. I mean, when you look at it, when you think about it, I almost ate double the amount of carbs in my second carb up than I did in my first carb up. And I think that was one thing I learned. You know, I talked to a couple pro bodybuilders, and some of these guys have like 2,000-3,000 grams of carbs the last few days before their show. It's like, people don't understand how long and how much carbs it really takes to fully even get your body back up to like what you would call normal levels, to how you look in the, you know, that day in the gym when you're pumped up and you're like, holy cow, I wish I could step on stage right now. That mm-hmm. look. It's really hard to do that after you've been depleted so long and you're afraid to over, you know, spill, when I don't think anybody really does that, but still it's possible. So you're in the side of caution.
And that's a really good point. Now, to put all this into context, that sounds like a lot of food, but that's after being depleted for quite a while.
Yeah. So
and spillover, you just said it, is kind of an industry term. That's when it seems that – and every competitor is scared of spillover. And it's when you carb load and then you're afraid that it'll just wash you out and make you look kind of fat and bloated.
Right, yeah. You don't want to wash out. Yeah, exactly. So –
people are scared that it's going to take away their leanness, but like you said, at some point that actually doesn't happen. It actually draws the water into your muscle, and you look even bigger, harder, and leaner if you do it right.
Yeah, yeah.
So the trick at the end is just trying to hit that as best as possible the moment you step on stage.
Right.
So go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I'm good.
So would you say that you hit it – obviously you hit it better at Montreal than in Florida?
Big time, yeah. I'm way happier with the pitchers, how I looked. And, you know, when I was backstage, there were 5 guys who were – I'm like – I won't lie. Every guy wants to walk into the show and you know, not see a lot of competition. I mean, obviously, a true champ, you want to win against the best competitors out there. But when you're just trying to get your pro card, you know, you go backstage and there's five guys who are like all shredded. You're like, I mean, I didn't know how I was going to do until they called my name. So, you know, there's no, and I knew, I'll even tell you guys this. I actually knew, for the first show I did, I knew the head judge. And so I'm here thinking I'm going to have an advantage. You know, I know the head judge. I've actually helped him build his business. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, I've got an advantage here. I'm going to do well. I got fifth of 19, mm-hmm. out of 22 guys. The second show, I'm friends with two of the judges. And I helped them with their business as well. So I'm like, oh, I've got another edge here. I got third. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, they're these people, a lot of people say, oh, there's politics and all this stuff. I'm sure there is. But, you know, I didn't feel like I got any special treatment at all. And, you know, I feel like my physique did make a big difference up on stage. And you know, it's neat how the show goes on because, you know, during the show, like the prejudging, my wife came up to me after and she goes, Vince, and she's very objective too. She's like, you need to start flexing your abs. The guy beside you's abs look way better.
I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, people don't realize. I don't know if you knew that, but at these shows, everyone's training partners and coaches are out in the crowd, you know, wives, whatever, significant others are yelling out, flex your abs, flex your legs or whatever, because when you're on stage, you got no mirror.
Right.
So you forget, and it's tiring as hell, right? So you forget that you're not flexing your abs. And even the most ripped person, when they're not flexing their abs, they kind of just smooth out again, right?
Yeah.
So, and if the guy next over to you is doing a better job of flexing, the judges just see that. Like, as a judge, you know, you're sitting there and you're like, I always look over to competitor three because his abs are always flexed, and competitor four, you know, is taking some breaths and stuff. And in between, he just relaxes. And then your eyes are just drawn to whoever's more sort of always displaying themselves. So people don't even realize that someone can show up better purely because they do a better job of kind of holding a flex longer.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, no, that's and at these shows, people are shouting that out all the time. So for I want to go back something to the carb loading stuff. Was there any training along with that towards the end, like a depletion training or anything like that?
Well, we did. I mean, you know, you have after your very last workout, you know, I think I had three cups of rice and two bananas and two scoops of hydrolyzed whey, and that kind of kick-started my carb load, and then it went into 10 ounces and 4 ounces.
And there's no training at that point, so when's the last day you train?
So I carved up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So the last workout would have been early Wednesday morning, really early Wednesday morning, and then the carb up starts immediately after that.
So, and then no training until after the show?
And zero training Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Now, does that drive you stir crazy? Do you feel like you need to do something at that point?
I think maybe, but like, I really push my body hard. So, you know, you're not going to, you know, one more cardio workout or two more weight training workouts, it's all just psychological. So
at that point, yeah, you're not changing your physique with another workout at that point.
You're just pumping, you know, liquid into the muscles if you're changing anything then. Yeah. So.
But do you feel like you need to go back to gym, or do you actually welcome the idea of not training?
Yeah, it's nice. No, it's like, and you know that's kind of like your finish line. The finish line is, you know, Wednesday morning. So I knew that weeks in advance. So all my training leading up to it was like, you know, there was that sense of, you know, finally we're here. So I was ready to take those days off. Yeah.
And you said you had a training partner that actually won the show in Florida. Talk about actually being able to train with somebody who was. Did that force you to keep pace? Like,
You know, we train a bit. He's a training partner I've had on and off for the years. I was in Florida, so I wasn't training specifically a lot for this show, but he's a buddy of mine. He's actually like we go to clubs and stuff together. And yeah. He doesn't have a science background or anything, so he does a lot of stuff that he's learning and everything. I got to give it to him. Like, he worked his butt off, but there's a lot of things he didn't know why he was doing, so it's kind of annoying that he beat me, but
Well, I mean, there's always a genetic component, right?
But, you know, he was one thing that he did better than I did was, you know, he rocked the stage. His stage presence was 10 times better than mine, and he trained his abs, really. He had better abs, you know. He trained his abs like, I think, 6 days a week for 30 minutes at the start of every one of his workouts, and there was no one in our gym. There's no one in our gym who trains their abs that long. And I'm like, what does this guy know that I don't know? And you know, so anyways, I started doing his ab workouts, and we're kind of just tried this high frequency direct ab training and see what happens. And it's funny because my coach, you know, Ben told me, he goes, you need to kill your abs. You got to start training them harder and longer. And freaking abs, man, until I started doing that, they didn't really start to come out. And I don't have those, you know, I don't have, there are guys who've got abs that just pop. I think that, you know, those, you know, certain guys have got great genetics and just have those abs that pop, but I don't have that carved out pop look. So I really have to work for them.
Yeah. And some people don't realize that no matter how, I mean, just like every other muscle has its genetic predisposition. Like you actually have a pretty big chest. But if you just don't happen to have, as you say, abs that pop, you gotta focus on them. They're just like any other muscle. The one thing is, for most people, the first trick is getting the fat off them to even see what you're working with before you even know what to do with them.
Yeah.
And that's the catch 22 with abs. And most people don't know. Most people haven't seen their abs, so they don't know if they have ones that have really deep separation or not until they're defined enough and lean enough to see it. And then from there, you can be like, oh, I'm one of those people that don't need to train them, or some people have to. Some people have to hammer away at them. So it's a bit of a trick. You got to see them first to know what to do with them.
Yeah, so true.
All right. So you did get your pro card. We know that. And where are you going? Let's walk us through to what's next.
Yeah. So the biggest show of my life is going to be August 27th, the World Championship. So I'm going to be competing on the world stage with other pros. And again, I think there's going to be 20 to 30 guys in this category. And, I mean, any of these guys could win. I mean, everybody says that in all these shows, but legitimately, I mean, these are guys who are landing covers. I mean, one of the guys I'm competing against is on the cover of Reps this month. Another guy was on the cover of Inside Fitness. Another guy's on like three covers a month. So, I mean, these guys are, you know, recognized within the industry. You know, people know them. So, you know, they're looking for, I know, my whole goal for this next show is to come in 10% better.
From your last show.
I want to look 10%. I mean, I won't be taken seriously if I show up the way I looked before. The judges won't even give me a second look. So I've got to come in 10% better. I'm going to come in leaner, harder, more muscular. I'm keeping my higher calories much higher. I'm doing much lower cardio. And, the focus is to, you know, just take one meal at a time and make every single day the best day ever. So I'm really just focused on one day at a time and prep for this show. And I'm going down to Florida to train with Ben for a few weeks so he can keep an eye on me, and to have him around for the last week or two before the show, just to keep an eye on everything too. So I measure everything now. I don't make any thoughtless decisions on my own. I'm really treating this at the highest level a professional could treat this at. You know, I'm not, basically my coach told me, for this prep, he goes, you can't F up anywhere. So,
well, if you expect to do well,
right. So basically my diet's perfect right now. I mean, I can tell you exactly what I eat at what times. It's all measured out. You know, there's no screwing around right now. So,
as of the moment we're recording this, so you're already in the middle of your run towards this.
Yeah, me. Yeah, as of Saturday, 7 weeks out.
Right. And when did you kind of start your coordinated move towards it?
I started 12 weeks out. So the first 3 weeks, I took the 3 week layoff and just kind of let my body. I basically had a 3 week cheat week.
Oh, from the last show to this one?
Yeah, it basically did whatever I wanted for 3 weeks. It was supposed to be 1 week. Yeah. It ended up being two, and then it ended up being three.
And then you're like, okay, I got to smarten up.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Okay, and so that you're taking a 12-week run at this, and is, so now, and obviously now you're recording everything?
Oh, yeah, it's all perfect right now.
So there's no guesswork. You'll be able to look back and see what happened. Now, do you have, you're working with the same coach?
Yeah, we're doing a few things differently. Cardio's a lot different. You know, I was doing 60 minutes of cardio a day in the last prep. Now I'm just doing, you know, one day of walking for 40 minutes, the second day just sprinting for 20 minutes. And so the volume is way lower. I got my back and shoulders in the week twice on Mondays and Fridays, so I'm prioritizing that. Couple other little things. I don't know who's listening to these calls, but I'm really trying to bring up my arms, my back, my shoulders. So I'm really, my whole thing is if you want to look different, you got to train different. You're not going to look the same doing the same routine. So, a couple of new things I'm doing is I'm adding 200 pushups at the start of every day. However many variations it takes to get to 200 pushups every morning. At the end of every workout, I do 50 variations of pull-ups, chin-ups. I'm pushing my body. Like, I'm really, really pushing my body. And I've got the resources to, recover and take care of myself. And, I got my therapist booked at once a week for the entire summer. I've got all my supplements already bought. I've got all my protein. I've got all my budgets all. It's all prepared for whatever I need to buy on groceries. So I'm ready to do whatever I have to do to get to what I want. So
mm-hmm. You brought up a good point there to it's if you want to look different, you can't train the same and expect to look different. And also what you said about training your arms, shoulders, and back. So you're actually at this point, it's not about building like tons more mass as much as it is refining where you're at and kind of working specifically on a look, right?
Really trying to get shredded. I mean, the big thing is, I get trained by Ben 101 as well. So, he trains me. So the big thing with physique, with a lot of people go to the gym and they lift weights, but they don't actually bodybuild. Mm-hmm. And, I'm confident that I could take anybody's physique and transform it just by manipulating their technique. And the majority of people, the reason they're not transforming their bodies has nothing to do with the program they're following, but how they're performing it in the gym.
And most yeah. And,
sorry.
And that's a really good point because it's lifting a weight. Like you said, it's most people lift weights. They don't train.
Right. So, the big thing is, I know how to create intention on my muscle. I know how to initiate the working muscle. I watch a lot of guys train. I tell them, I'm trying to help them with their side raises. I'm like, initiate from your shoulders. And they don't even know how to selectively recruit their shoulder first. It all starts with their wrist and elbow and their back. And these guys don't even know what they can't even compute what I'm trying to tell them because they don't. So I know how to selectively recruit a muscle. I know lines of movement. I know how to put force on the muscle, not on the joint. I know how to make a lightweight feel heavy. I know how to manipulate my tempo and rest period so that there's a massive amount of tension on the muscle. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I can brag about. I've never, had a serious injury because, everything I do is in control. So, when you train in control, you can push yourself hard, but, still create a lot of tension on the muscle so it grows.
That's interesting. I was just going to ask you about injury, and that's the difference. That's the real big difference between bodybuilding and weightlifting, powerlifting. A weightlifter, powerlifter, like an Olympic weightlifter or a powerlifter, their job is just to move the bar. They don't care how, really. They just want the bar to move, whereas a bodybuilder doesn't care about the bar or the dumbbell. They care about the muscle, and it's – they're actually sort of opposite thoughts. And like a weightlifter doing a clean and jerk or a push press or something like that, they're contorting their body around the bar. Like the goal is the bar. Same with powerlifting. And that's not what bodybuilding is. So sometimes something looks funny with bodybuilding because you're in a weird position or you're using a really light weight or sometimes bodybuilding doesn't quite look as impressive in the gym, let's say, as powerlifting does, because you can load the plates down and stuff.
Right.
And I made millions of just. I spent way too much time making the mistake of lifting heavy, and I don't really have. I can't brag the same as you. I got injured all the time in the past because I would always try to go too heavy, and it took me a while to realize it's just there's no point in lifting the heavy weight. The point is to make the muscle work.
Uh huh.
So but that's a really good point because that's what you're trying to do when you're trying to change the look of your physique is you just want to make a muscle work. It doesn't matter how you make it work. You just want it to work. So, okay, so for this show, so you're pretty is your final prep going to be any different? Have you guys or are you not even there yet, like to know?
Yeah, right now if you saw like my calories are high right now, I'm eating, meat twice a day. I got fats in twice a day. Yeah, I'm going to try and keep my calories as high as possible, keep my cardio as low as possible, and just try and coax the fat off I don't want to do anything extreme. I don't want to have to try and speed anything up at the last minute. And the goal is just to stay as full and hard as possible. And my body fat's coming down each week, so everything's looking good so far. So,
so you're actually speaking about not – you're trying to bring down how drastic things have to be. So you're
exactly. So, I mean, the worst thing with these any transformation or anybody listening is to back yourself up into a corner where there's nowhere else to go. You know, you can only drop your calories so low to the point where it's going to be detrimental to you. So that's what happened to me last time. So my goal is to like be able to lose fat all the way to the show around 2400 calories or so instead of around 1800 calories. So, I want,
and that's how much better does that feel on a daily basis?
I mean, it's exactly. So especially for hormonally too. I mean, there's a lot of little things you can, I know if I'm anabolic based on, you know, how little things based on, you know, how you wake up and your sleep quality, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure. It gets tricky when you're trying to get rid of fat, but also trying to monitor how low you're really going to go. And it's at some point you just have to, and it's all trial and error. You get to the point where you realize where your sort of optimal spot is. And then if you're lucky enough to find that spot and you've managed to record it, then that's kind of just where you stay.
Yeah. Hmm.
All right. So, anything else that's you want to add to this next, the story about what you're doing for this next show, or are we kind of there?
I think we're there. I mean, yeah, the main thing is, the best advice I can just offer everybody probably is, just to take it one meal at a time. I find a lot of people, get way too caught up in what they don't need to be concerned with. For example, I emailed my coach with about 4 weeks ago in my last show, and I panicked. And I was like, oh, I don't look – I've got 10 pounds to lose, and I don't know if I'm going to be ready. And he basically told me that your stress levels are killing you and you're worse than any female client I've ever trained. And he was like – stop thinking about the pictures, stop thinking about the show, stop thinking about the photo shoot, stop thinking about the products you're going to make out of this, and just focus on today. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the best message I can offer everybody, to just take it one meal at a time.
Like literally pull your focus into just winning the day.
Yeah, win today. And the more, and you know, that's comes back to my hurt help rule. The more help decisions you can make instead of hurt decisions you make, the better you'll do. So, you know, if meal two's got this, you know, right now I got to go, John, I got to go eat meal two right now. You know what I mean? It's like getting off this call. And, you know, that comes just from, and the more repetition, the more those kind of decisions you make, the easier it becomes. Because the guys that are transforming their bodies, they've got a few things on their side. They've got a deadline. So they're working with a set period of time. And they're making the most of every single day. And, you know, that's usually the biggest difference, just maximizing the time that you have. And it's not normally what you know, but it's what you do with it. So, you know, if you look at my diet at the end of it, you know, I'm having around 35 meals a week. I'm nailing 35 out of those 35 meals. So,
yeah. And that's the best way to look at it, is if you can win, if you can have more win days in a row than the next guy over, you're probably going to win in general.
Yeah. So I'm not thinking about the barbecue on Sunday. I'm not thinking about, you know, that I'm going to a pool party tomorrow. I'm just making sure I've got all my meals prepared for today. And then at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to make sure everything's ready to go for tomorrow and just take it one meal at a time. And it's not an all or none approach either. I used to have this horrible mentality that, let's say I screwed up breakfast, I'd be like, well, I'll start fresh tomorrow.
Yeah. No, you start fresh at the next meal.
Just get refocused on the next meal. So, and it's, you know, if I screw up meal two, just get refocused on meal three. So, you know, understanding that you are in complete control of how your body looks. Those were the words my coach told me. He goes, Vince, you are in complete control of how your body looks on April the 16th at 1 p.m. when you step on stage. And you have no one else to blame but yourself. You have everything under your control. Focus on making today the best day ever, and you'll end up with the most amazing body of your life.
Mm-hmm. And that's the best. It's funny. You need to focus acutely from one meal at a time for this goal somewhere else.
Yeah.
So even though you do, and like you said, you've got to have a deadline. Nothing happens without a deadline.
Yeah, goals without deadlines are dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And it doesn't mean you need to compete in a show, but this is, you know, set something up, you know, and like, you know, like the contests we run online, like we both do those, and at some kind of deadline, even if it's just amongst your friends, a deadline makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
yeah. All right, well, that was great, man. That's a great little series, and I mean, that's a lot of insight, even someone like Vince, who's all the way up to having a pro card, still makes mistakes and is still improving, and that's how it works. This is just a work in process over time. Everyone's body's a work in process over time.
Yeah, and if you don't mind me just mentioning the show, anybody local in the GTA area, Greater Toronto area, did I say that right? Yeah. So anyways, it's in Mississauga, Ontario at the Living Arts Center on August the 27th. Pre-judging's at 10 a.m. and then the finals are at 6 p.m. WBFF is bringing in Nick Carter. He's going to be singing a few songs. But, I mean, come and watch the pro fitness models compete. It's going to be an incredible show. A lot of amazing athletes. And I'll be up on stage. So if you want to get inspired, come out. Feel free to come out for a nice night of entertainment. And they've got a little expo going on there too, so you can grab yourself some free stuff and that. But yeah,
well, we got to know now. We got to go now because we got to see how all this turns out after hearing this whole story.
Exactly. So I know there's a lot of a lot of people that listen to your stuff in Hamilton, Burlington, Toronto, and Guelph, and all over the area here. So come on out, watch the show, and maybe you can enter one of the open categories next year. And really see how you stand up against some of the best of the best.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. So that was really good. Thanks for being on.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. So for Vince Del Monte, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.